Beis HaMedeiris, Tichot Gimel Abawad. The Gemara it's a rare piece of Gemara in that it gives details on Gzeira Shoveh, sort of evaluating Gzeira Shoveh, good Gzeira Shoveh, not so good Gzeira Shoveh. Gzeira Shoveh should have the authority of a Pasuk in the Torah. Sitaraisa, Einar and Dun Gzeira Shoveh Latzmo. Nevertheless, there's a chilik. And you can see there could be a machlokas on what someone is calling a Gzeira Shoveh. It need not be accepted by everybody, unless it's a clean Gzeira Shoveh. A clean Gzeira Shoveh is Mufne Mishnei Tzadim, where you have a marker word in both the source and the derivative. Both have a marker word. Therefore, you're compelled to understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu was talking to us there. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done that. Give us that kind of stop sign. Stop over here and then to analyze what must be the point of comparison between the two. That's the key message of this little sugya. And then that's what the Gemara means when it says that Yesh Mashivin or Ein Mashivin. Ein Mashivin means it's a clean Gzeira Shoveh which you can't argue with. Yesh Mashivin is a point of comparison that if you find that your mind is being stretched too far to accept that comparison, you need not accept it. There Shaykh didn't have machlokas. I think it's Mashivin. You can ask something about the Gzeira Shoveh and disqualify it or inactivate it. And you say, Ein Meshiva, no, you think it's a good comparison. That's what allows for a machlokas in a Gzeira Shoveh, which isn't Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. That's the key summary of what we said yesterday. We're in the middle of the Mufne business, so we can pick up right from Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. I think we can get into the flow of logic here. The first shura. Ulahocha afne rachmana lebehema mishnei tzadin. Why we gave a double marker, yitzira and bria. Kehecha delo nigmar min mufne mitzad echad. Right, that you know that this is not a mitzad echad. This is an authorized Gzeira Shoveh. Avach abrei de Rav Basi, lo mishmei de Rav Elozo. Lekule, another modification in the absolute power of a Gzeira Shoveh. Lekule, kol Gzeira Shoveh she'ne mufte koliko lemeide. Meshivin, you can try to infer, but Meshivin, you have a right to disagree and find differences between the two that make the comparison unacceptable or irrational. That's a better language, I think. Mufne misad echad, then l'Rav Shmuel, l'meidin, v'meshivin. That's machlokas. L'Rabbanan, l'meidin, u'meshivin. Mufne mishnei tzadin, divrei hakol, l'meidin, v'meshivin. Here you have the question that you all should be asking. So why call it Gzeira Shoveh? If I could ask you, you are trying to make a comparison between two halachas, and I tell you it's unacceptable, I think it's too far-fetched, it's irrational. Therefore, I disagree with you. Then why is it Gzeira Shoveh? Why call it Gzeira Shoveh? It's some of machlokas. Gzeira Shoveh has a power of those words that are something compelling. Because it's compelling, but you don't want to accept it, it's also good. The Rabbanan, who say that a mufne mitzad echad need not be accepted, Meshivin, then Maya Kabina moved inside Echo, Shane moved the Koliko. Why call it Zeir Shova? Zeir Shova that you don't have to accept as Zeir Shova is not Zeir Shova. And you're trying to make a comparison of two things. One is making a comparison based on logic alone. The other one is making a comparison based upon word identity. I don't see anything, I can't see an absolute refutation of one or the other. But they are at variance with each other. It doesn't give an example of what it is. Then Shavkinon, Shein Mufne Koliko, Gamin Mufne Mitzarechen. That's the end of the sukkah. What is he telling you? That if you have nothing better, then a move to Mitzarechen is also a marker, an indicator that something should be studied in comparison between these two halachas. Ain't a mufne at all, I don't make a comparison. Then you are asking pure logic. Once you have a one word that's out, no one word of the Torah can be left out. And therefore one word out is also a sign of something. Therefore you have to try to figure something out. Therefore mufne m'sarechot, right? I gamrinon, I will try to learn something from that comparison. Nevertheless, you go back to our case here, right, where the Rabbanan and Rameir are arguing whether a malformed something that came out of the woman, it has the form of an animal, right? It has the form of a higher animal, whatever that means, right? A tzura chaya, behema chaya ba'of. Right? There we had already a gzeil tshove you tried to make from yitziro b'riya, for those two words. But if meshivin, if you have a kasha on it, you could ask a kasha. What kasha you want to ask? The male said that the two should be compared because a behemoth and a human have a common denominator in the Torah. Vayitzer connects the two. We say, oh, but if it's only connected by one, you can make a kasha. You can disagree. On what basis are you disagreeing? That's where pircha, meaning you have a reason for asking a kasha, that I don't like this comparison. Why don't you like the comparison between man and animal insofar as Tamei Leida, whether it's considered to be a birth or not? My Pircha Iko, Yishum Iko LeMifrach, Ma LeOdom SheKeim Etamei Mechayim. Okay, here you have a nice It's a dissection of a halachic process. Man is toho, a woman is tohova. A man can become tummy. A woman becomes tveya when she's tveya later, when she gives birth. But that's what I want 2 months later. So now I want to make a comparison, say, well, she's Tamei Leida, even if she gave birth to something which you would call in nature a birth. Something came out of a pregnant state and looks like an animal. Animals give birth, Vayitza. Animals give birth also. Therefore, it has a claim to Leida. Not to Leida, to Tumas Leida. Right? So now, what makes it into Tumas Leida? The innate characteristic of the blood of the fetus. So this fetus, now you say, is called a Leida, and it's going to make the woman into Tumas Leida. Whoever heard about Tumas Leida? Where did you find about Tumas Leida? You found it by a normal birth. A woman gives birth, Yishu Kisazriya Vesele Zoho, right? So we know that a woman gives birth, she becomes Tumea. What made her Tumea? She wasn't Tumea before. The blood made her Tumea. So the blood has a power of tumor in it. Right? Comes the Kashi, Rabban asks Aramea, how can you compare the two? The power of tumor that a blood has of human form is because human form and tumor have an affinity to each other. Haraya, a human form can become tummy. An animal form can't become tummy. An animal can't become tummy. Animal becomes tummy when it drops dead. But Michayim, there is no tumor except on man. Man is unique. Only man becomes Tamei Mechayim. With us?
A korban can't become...
Live animal can't become Tamei. Man can be Tamei. A korban can't be Tamei.
The baser can be
Tamei. Has to be shechten to be Tamei.
It's shechten to be Tamei.
Yeah?
It's shechten to be Tamei.
No, if once you shechten, it becomes Tamei. When Adam Tamei touches it.
If you shecht an animal...
And you touch it, it becomes Tamei. And you tell me.
If it's a.
No, you shechted, not a veila.
Yeah. Well, yes, if you kill it some other way, then it's tummy after it's dead.
You shechted, right. And Adam tummy touches it.
Oh, if an Adam tummy. Okay.
That's okay. A corn becomes tummy when an Adam tummy touches it. It doesn't become tummy by itself. So a man has the affinity to tumor. Why? Tumor can latch onto him. Therefore, the blood of an Adam Tomei, the blood of an Adam, right, can make a woman Tomei. But a live animal has no affinity to tumor. Therefore, it's out of the realm of tumor. Therefore, a blood that resembles an animal cannot impart tumor slater to a woman. That's the Rabbanan's kasha. I want to say you want to make a Gzeira Shoveh of Yitzhiro, right? But I have a Kashan Gzeira Shoveh. Because what you're trying to do is equate the blood of a man, a human blood, with an animal blood. And they fall into two different classes. A blood, a man has the power to become, has the power to be Metame when he's dead, or transfer tumor when he's Tomei. But man has the power also to receive tumor, which no animal has. We're talking Mechayim. Therefore, since it has the ability to receive tumor Mechayim, right, therefore it can impart tumor Mechayim to a woman who's also Mechayim. But an animal who can only deal with tumor after death cannot deal with a live human being, with a live woman. Yeah.
What is the nature of this thing that the woman is giving birth to biologically? Is it a behemoth? No. So how? What was this comparison?
It happens all the time. When in 1997. Erwin Kressner, I was with him in the off-shield for many years. His brother is the head of biochemistry at Columbia. And Erwin Kressner was the leading pediatric surgeon. He was in his group, controlled Mount Sinai and Montefiore, controlled some of the biggest hospitals in New York. Controls, you know, that means they have a bunch of specialists in the group, and they spread their wings over the hospital and grab all the patients. Yeah. The referrals are made only to them by the nurses. It's a good deal. Yeah. But He was a fancy surgeon at Mount Sinai. Nice form, little yeshiva bacha. He then became head of surgery at Shari Tzedek. And there he wasn't happy. He came back and became head of New Jersey School of Medicine, whatever it is. He's now retired. A fine Talmid Chacham, a good fellow. He called me once to come down to Mount Sinai to show me a baby with two heads. Wasn't happening. Well, talk about baby with two heads. Right? How do you know if it's one baby or two babies? You pour hot water on one head. If the other head cries, you know it's one baby. Well, it's two babies.
That sounds mean.
Yeah?
That sounds mean.
I'm sorry?
That sounds mean.
Yeah. Anyway, these are called monstrosities. A woman almost never sees it. They never show it to the mother. They may tell her about it, but even that not. They tell her the baby came out, it's dead, it can't be. She sees it, I know, I think she would fight, she wants to see it, but it's too cruel to show it. What it means is, every cell is supposed to know what it's supposed to do.
Well, something like a two-headed baby is...
Sorry?
Something like a two-headed baby is an extreme form of conjoined twins.
I'm sorry, again?
A two-headed baby is an extreme form of conjoined twins.
Yeah, yeah. Co-joined twins, right there, was a separation of early, but incomplete. In other words, an egg divides in two, is supposed to let go. It didn't let go. They both developed, but not well enough to be full set of organs inside, like the co-joined twins that I was involved in the Shiloh that's printed all over. From a full family in Lakewood, came to Shiloh to my father-in-law, what to do, whether you can separate them, and then killing one of the babies in order to separate them, because there's only one heart, it had to be given to one and not the other, and so on. Able to divide the heart, fellow with Dr. Koop, Everett Koop, who then became Surgeon General of America, he did the surgery. It's written up nice. I give it out in the medical ethics class. If I remember, if you remind me, I'll give you a very nice story written up by the Philadelphia Reporter, who won the Pulitzer Prize in Journalism for it. He did a beautiful job writing it up. And there, Everett Koop, I've said many times, Zoche, the Gedula. And after that, he became a very powerful force in medicine, the government. God rewarded him, because when he was being pushed to make a decision about the babies, he said, I can't make a decision. He says, the question was asked to a little Jew on the Lower East Side. He says, he's a saintly man and very wise. When he'll tell me what to do, I will do it. Kodesh Baruch Hu rewarded him for that statement. Yeah. These monstrosities happen when signaling goes awry. How do cells know what to do? What should be? There are signals, there are chemical signals that tell each cell what it's supposed to be based upon its association with other cells. When something goes wrong there, I'm talking about an incident, maybe 1 in 4,000, 1 in 5,000 births, maybe as high as that. When a baby's born, you know, people fetch around, it's born and has a red mark over here. What's going to be with this baby, you know? I always remind them what kind of Shvach or Do, they got to give to the Baruch Shalom. The baby came out with one head, and two legs, and two hands. That's all you're entitled to. The Kacharan has the first Makia, the first Makteh. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu said that three keys he keeps in his vest pocket. The Mafteach of Tchias HaReisim, the Mafteach of Gshomim, and the Mafteach of Leido. And some say also the Mafteach of Panoso. This is a divine act of grace, period. Okay? So that's what the Maharal says. Rabbonim point out that Rameir's attempt to equate an animal birth, an animal-looking thing, and call it birth, because the Torah associated it with the word Vayitzer, right, that's not fair. It doesn't stand up under scrutiny. Because Yesh Lemifrach, but I have a right to ask a question, how do you see the two should be equated when they differ fundamentally in the issue at hand? Issue at hand is, does it make Tumas Leder? In order to make Tumas Leder, I can now make a distinction. This fetus, human form fetus, is intimately involved with Tumah B'Tahor. Therefore, it's Shayach that it involves itself with Tumas Leder. But a behema has nothing to do with Tumah B'Tahor. While it's alive, it's neutral. Therefore, it cannot be equated. וכן אמר רב חייא בר אבא יוחנן, היינה תימא דאמר, הואיל ונאמר בו יציר קודם. Right, to go back. What Rameir said, since there's the marker of Yitziro, Yitziro, therefore he holds it should be treated no different than a birth of a human form. And Rabbanan argue, and that's where we leave the machlokes of Rameir and Rabbanan. Now, Amale Rameir Ami Elamayato, if you're playing around just with, in other words, Rabbanan's response was a proper response. There's a rational distinction between the two. Therefore, you have no right to compare the two. If you say, but it's absolute, Yitziro, Yitziro, that word compels you to make the comparison, regardless of how far-fetched it is, then I'll ask you, really far-fetched. Elo Mayato, Hamapel is the Mushar. She gave birth to something that looks like the Alps. Himalayan mountains, but what the heck it could be? The Mushar. Okay. Imu Tameo Leda. Then she also should be called a Leda. Shenema, because if Rameir, are you willing to accept irrational comparisons solely on the basis of the marker words of Yitziro, Yitziro? Well, mountain kihine yotzer horem abore ruach. By horem it also says Yitziro. Amalei, so he answered somehow a little bit tongue-in-cheek, as you see, it ends up tongue-in-cheek. Amalei, harmi komapels, what, she gave birth to the Alps, to the Malayan mountains? Even he could come up, Ellis. Why do you call it a mountain? Gush Ikri. It's called a lump. If she would give birth, I guess if you had a picture of the Rocky Mountains, a silhouette of the Rocky Mountains, she gave birth to that, oh, I'd have problems.
That would be painful coming out.
The what?
That would be painful coming out.
Yeah, no, more than that, people would want to go skiing on it. Ella Mayato, Hamapeles Ruach, Teimu Tmeya Leda. If she gives birth to an empty sack, empty amnion, means nothing formed inside. Here I have another marker word, good one, boreg, bria, hol benemro bria kodom. By Odom we have bria and yitzira. Here you have bria, yitziv, uvore ruach. You tell me that what? That word isn't open. What means it's open? I need it for the text itself. It has to be a redundant word. Well, I don't need it for the text. No, it is redundant. Because the pasuk says, "Hine yotze horim uvore ruach." He could have said, "Hine yotze horim v'ruach." Why didn't yotze horim uvore ruach? Vichitema lo mufno. It's not an open word, meaning a redundant word. You need it just for the make sense of the pasuk. No, mi da havlo the michtal. He could have said, "Yotze horim v'ruach." It says, "Uchsiv yotze horim uvore ruach." Shmamano lafnui. Means that's a marker word. Not mind you, he has no terrors to this question. That she gives birth to an empty sack, right? That should be called a misolator. Now that rationally, it makes better sense. It's an act of birth that isn't challenging you. Meaning, what's the question? Where's the baby? The baby disappeared. The baby never formed. But the sack in which the baby develops formed, and the woman then gave birth to it. So that could be an act of birth, a futile birth, but it's an act of birth. Amalei, yeah, but the pasuk you found, you didn't find the Bereishis. You found the pasuk in almost. Amalei done in the Torah, the Torah. You want to compare it to the Bria of Adam? That's in the pasuk of the Torah. So if you find me a pasuk in the Torah, that's where we make Gzeirah Shavos from Torah. I don't make Gzeirah Shavos from Torah to Novi, from Novi to Torah. Been done in the Torah, the Kabbalah. Now the Gemara takes off after Rameir. Yeah. What made you think? Here's where I have to learn pshat. What should just promise to make a lame on this Gemara and figure out pshat when everybody leaves you behind? Yeah. No one but Rashi's fell down on the job a little bit. You could use another half as many Rashi's on this page to help out. Amir was not irrational. Right? Look for rationality, but he wasn't irrational. Why would you want to make a comparison between an animal form and a human form? Or sukkah aside, in other words, not possible. You see, ikal mifrach, I want an unimpressed with the power of the Gzeirah Shavos. So it's not a powerful Gzeirah Shavos. Then has to have behind it has to be rationality. What does Rameir see? Now here, let me word it for you this way. What is there that's the absolute sign of humanity? I wrote an article with Dr. Loike in the Kennedy Institute, the Journal of Medical Ethics, last year, defining humanhood. What makes a person, what makes an animal to a human being? It's a real big problem today. Why?
Because most people behave like animals.
Oh, it's just a trouble. Mm-hmm. Some people want to improve themselves, they want to make themselves like chimpanzees. Right? There are only 50 genes that separate us from chimpanzees. One of the genes which we think is really the gene that makes us into a talking animal, into a medaber. Called Fox 4. You now learn to play games with genes. How many genes do you want? How many genes do you want? Count them out. You can count your genes. So the idea is, if I transfer the genes to a chimpanzee and he starts talking. Then he can carry the story, yeah? Then he runs for the Senate, he runs for Congress, he becomes a president, everything's possible. Does that make him into a human being? That's the child. What is there that's the absolute of humanhood? Most of the people who've been serious on this topic, and it's not a science fiction topic. This is a halacha maaseh. The Genesis are seriously concerned to have a nice, clear definition between human and not human. A male asks, what's the minimum anatomical sign of humanhood? Most of the people who've been writing in the field have concluded that humanhood is determined by mental factors, ability to do abstract thought, so the tremendous amount of animal experimentation to show that some animals can do abstract thought. That claim, there was a parrot that just died. And that
Alex, Alex the African
right.
Gray parrot.
No, it's no inconsequential discussion in science today. I'm talking about a fetus. Therefore, the what's available to me are anatomical signs. Now, what are you going to do? Define the size of a nose? Define what? The presence of a male or female sex organ or some other. A baby's born without it. You see later on, mother didn't know how to explain it. But a baby's born without a face. Anyone ever read anything about that? Very famous. A very significant occurrence in the life of a tribe. They looked upon this thing as, among the Arabs, looked upon as a sign from God, a good sign. The woman didn't know how her face was. No nose, no eyes, no mouth. Yeah. Mother didn't know that. Or didn't. I'm figuring into the shot. It's called a caul, C-A-U-L. It's nothing more than a helmet that grows over the face. Take a scissors and slice it, peel it off, the perfectly fair face of it. Among Arabs, the high incidence of caul formation at the joint of the two legs. So a baby is born without any external genitalia. But there's usually a little opening. The baby urinates. Again, it's nothing more than a caul. It's a piece of skin that goes over. Yeah. I've seen babies born with two or three fingers fused into one. They're not fused, just a piece of skin. At every extremity, like an overgrowth of skin. You take the scalpel, you slice it, slip it off, perfectly fine underneath. Okay. Mother knew about these things. This is stuff what the eye could see, Chazal was smarter than we are. I told you, we forget sometimes. We're impressed with our Chachomim. But you forget that they were not malachim. They were also smart old people who lived long lives, and their power of observation was better than ours. So that you can't treat them short shrift. No, if this guy, they got all messed up, they didn't know what it was all about. No, they're asking. And I think, I like the Ramshat, when these malformations occur, right, maybe some of them are correctable later on. Maybe it isn't as bad as it looks. Like the case of the call, we'll have later on, the case of the call with a baby boy with a smashed face or no face. Yeah. Yeah. So we want to know from Rameya, give me what, in your opinion, is the key anatomical sign of a human being? And the answer is in the eyes. The eyes have it. Okay? Sometimes better the nose should have it than the eyes should have it, but the eyes have it. The shape of the eye, I'm sorry, it's the first time I mean it. The conclusion is the shape of the eye socket. Okay. The eye is not round in shape. The eye is eye-shaped. It's almond-shaped.
But the eye is round.
No.
Yeah.
No. The eyeball is round.
Right. Eyeball is right.
Well, it's
we only see he's right too
that if you go ahead and enucleate an individual and take the eye out completely, it's pretty round. It's a full eye, you know, up to the optic nerve. Yeah. But
the skin that covers most
but the mother claims and you have to go look in the mirror. That the eye socket is round. Okay. You see a skeleton. You draw the eye, a skeletal head, the eye socket is round. No animal has a round socket according to the Torah. It's hard to say Gemara made a mistake or didn't know, but that's something that they could observe. Therefore, I have no doubt that that's what it is. That among animals, the socket is never a round socket. It's always a eye-shaped socket. It's what's that shape? Ovoid, oblong, or something. Okay. But now you understand what Gemara is asking. This poor fetus is all messed up. How do you identify it as human? You also really has to have a human form. I claim a human form means 40 days birth with a nose and eyes, right? But you're claiming that human form other than that. So it could have everything messed up, but something still makes it human. What makes it human? That's what Rose is asking now. Amar Rabba Babachonam Bab Yochanan. Hainu time at Rameya. Hoel ve nehem domos shelodom. Because their eyes are similar to that of man, therefore we include Behema Chaya Ba'of as human forms that make Tumas Leda. Elamayato, so the Bar asks, Hamapel is the Mus Nochosh. And Nochosh also has a round eye. Tehei imo temeya leva. Hoel begalgal shal eno agulo kishal adam. Ah, you'll tell me eno chanami. Bichi teima hachanami. Then how come that's not listed in the Mishnah? It says behema chaya ba'of. It doesn't list nachosh. The Gemara answers, you're quite right. I would have put in nachosh, but e ton the nachosh have amina be nachosh to prigil one alei. When the one argue a mayor, and he has among the list chaya, behema chaya ba'of be nachosh, people will say it's the nachosh that made the machlokes between Ramei and Rabbanon. Loksiv beyitzira, because by nachosh, by behema chaya ba'of, you have by yitzir. There you don't have by tani by the nachosh and no by yitzir. Avo behema chaya ba'of, where you had the by yitzir, so you have what? This gzeira shava lo pligi. The Rabbanon don't argue. Because there you have the marker word of Yitzira. Therefore, I didn't list Nochash, but really, Nochash should be in the list because its eyes are dome l'sharodom. Frank the Gemara is dome l'sharodom, and what? And these all have round eyes. How could that be? Gabi Bumin Kotonela, the Gabi the din of a mum behema that doesn't allow you to bring it for a korban. So Gemara in Bechoros says, what's an example of a mum? Eshagalgo eno ogol kishalodom. What does that prove? No, quickly. You tell me a behemoth is form is treated like an odom because it has a round eye, but round eye is a mumbai behemoth, which means it's not normal for behemoth. A kohen rejects a behemoth for korban because it has a round eye. Therefore, roundness is an abnormality by behemoths. So how did you make the equation behemoths and Odom are the same because they both have round eyes? Okay, you got that? Lo kashe ha be'uchma. When I said round eye, I meant the eye. When it's a balmum, they refer to the socket. Look at Rashi. Shochosh yad uchma. Shochosh shebaay uchma is black. Shochosh shebaay in have a ogle. The pupil is black. The behema ka'odam. Boda tone da have a mum, that's the tzire. Mokom mosho kolahayin. Right? Where the whole eye sits. There, lo have a ogle, the behema ka'odam. We have a ogle, have a mum. So if the eye socket is round, like an owl. The cold bowl shall Moshe v'ayin kori galgal k'vanim l'kaman. V'amantim gal'in l'shemes at chotmo u'mepneishu ogul k'galgal. Okay, so back to the answer. Why did Rameir equate behema with Odom? Because both have round eyes. Animal and man have right round eyes. Nochosh doesn't have a round eye. No, Malchus also is a Rambam. So in Lochash too. Didn't mention Lochash because I didn't want to focus the Machlokas of Ramey and Ramon on the Lochash. I would have detracted, the people would think that's where they objected. Now I know they objected to everything, to Behem as well, but right now we have, what's the answer? What makes it into a human form? What gives it humanhood? Right? The fact that the eyes are round. In fact, the Gemara, I'm sorry, Rabbi Omer, no. It's not the shape of the eye, it's the position of the eye. Hainu tamed amer, hol meinehem holchos lefneihem kishal odom. Some animals, like a snake, have the eyes on the sides. An animal and man have their eyes in front. They have frontal eyes. No. But you included Oaf in the picture. Oaf doesn't have it in front. Oaf has it on the side. Let's say, look at the pigeon. There's a beak and the eyes over here. But you included oaf also, a shape like an oaf. You said also a tzura sodom. Bare oaf, they ain't of hochos upon it. We call a rameya the tummy. Amarabeya, it depends what oaf you're talking about. There's one oaf. One kind of oaf that has the eyes in front. That's the owl. The picture of an owl, you see an owl, it's like that's what makes the owl look so wise or so strange. That has the two eyes in front. Amarabaye Bikario Bikifufa. But Bisharofos, if it doesn't have the eyes in the front, right? Low. So now you're talking about a vlad that's fairly well advanced, right? That you already have, right? Eyes in front. That's the kind of vlad that's doma letzipo, doma leof that a mayor held causes tumas later. Yes, it was.
Well, eyes facing forward is a sign simply of a predator. I mean, there are animals with eyes on the side, animals with eyes in front. There are birds with eyes on the side, there are birds with eyes in front.
No, not true. Not true. Falcon, hawk, eagle don't have eyes in front. An owl has eyes in front.
I need to see what a picture of an eagle looks like. No, I guess, yeah, an eagle's eyes are still mostly sideways.
Eagle eyes refer to as acuity.
Yeah, it's still, I guess, mostly sideways there.
Okay. Mesri, Afanina ben Antignus Omer, Niren divrei Rameir bebehema v'chaya. I pass like Rameir that if the fetus, if the embryo fetus has a form that resembles a mammalian animal, a behema v'chaya, that makes tumas leida. But I agree with Chachomim who argue with Rameir. The divrei Chachomim ba'ofos. That if it has the form of a bird, that doesn't make it into a tmeya leida. What kind of bird are you talking about? My ofos. Ilima bekarya kifufa. That's the owl and something that looks like an owl also. Maishna behema v'chaya, the name hochos of name shel adam, kal yivik fufa nama. So why differentiate? Elav shita b'shar ofos, Right? Not talking about Kaya Rikifufa. Kaya Rikifufa, they'll be moved into Ramea that she trade later. Michla, the Ramea, Paulig, Bisharachos. But Ramea, who disagrees with them, if they agree with him with reference to the owl, and they argue with reference to the Sharachos, meaning Ramea holds that any bird form is Metame later. No, but you just told me before that Ramea also holds only by an owl who has his eyes in front. And the Gemara Chasur Mechsei Bochek Tani. No, you have an inaccurate translation of what Rab Chanina Ben Atikos said. Bochek Tani, here's how it should say. Rab Chanina Ben Atikos Omer Niro and Divir Ameir Duhem Rechaya. And Vuhadin, I agree with him. The kind of oath that's a neyem holch lefneihem, then hadin lekariya kifufa. And I hold like chachamim b'shalofos, because there aframeir lo nechaking moem ele bekariya kifufa, abo b'shalofos modelahu. So on shalofos, a fetus that came out shaped not like an owl, but like said any other bird, no one agrees that it's tumas leido. Both Rameir and Rabbanan concur that that's not Tumas Leida.
And I'm still confused. I mean, if you look at any behemoth,
sorry,
if you look at a behemoth, which are domesticated animals, are herbivores. Their eyes are on the sides.
By who?
Something like a cow.
Yeah. Eyes in front.
So eyes are facing sideways.
They have nose, the bridge of the nose, and the eyes are inside. I mean, the side of the skull, like a snake.
What?
Sheep, there's eyes in front, not on the side.
Here, I just did a search for images of cattle.
Yeah?
What did I miss?
I'm arguing that domesticated animals have their eyes on the sides of their heads.
You mean like dogs?
Well, no, not dogs.
but
or cattle.
Or cats?
Here's a cow.
Yeah, let's see.
Yes, that does look like a cow.
Okay, so the eyes are on the sides of his head.
No. There must be a malformed cow.
No, that's a normal cow.
What would be interesting is that if you compare the behemoths and the chayas.
I mean, well, with chayas, I mean, the point is, if an animal's a predator like a dog or a cat, his eyes will be facing forwards.
Are they?
Much more so in general. It depends how much.
This seems like a question of degree.
It's a question of degree a lot. The point is that the eyes further sideways gives you more peripheral vision. The eyes further forwards gives you better depth vision forwards. Depends how much you're relying on either.
Save it for the afternoon classes.
Yes. What afternoon classes?
Okay, we'll finish up so you'll have all the answers.
Okay.
Again. You just say, but by Sharofos, everybody agrees. It's only by Kaya Kifufa that Rameir argues. But by other Ofos, everybody agrees that it's not a blood. But Avo b'sharofos modilahu, v'tanya marabaloza batzeder kavapelas mendeim chayel divir ameir vlad divir chomein of vlad. Ubofos tivdok, but by ofos you should go ahead and examine. What do you mean tivdok? Laman tivdo, according to whom? Lav the dibi rameya, the makaya fifi in sharofos lo? There's nothing to examine by sharofos. It's only by kaya kapufa. Lo tivdo. Right. The rabbonan dam makaya the kapufa in sharofos lo. It says, you have to be bodik, that's only to find out whether it is kaya kifufa. Umayshna kaya kifufa, the behemoth of a chaya. The language is a little stilted here. Maestro kaya kefufa mi behema b'chaya, meaning why is kaya kefufa and behema b'chaya, why are they different? I'm going to now say, right? Holo v'yeshem listos ka'odam. Say that again. Umayshna, why is Kaya and Kifufa Rabbanan Moda that would be a Tzura Sodom? Why is that different than Behema V'chaya, where they argue on Behema V'chaya? They say Behema V'chaya only in Yeshi Imam Dam, that it does other blood, otherwise not. The answer is, what's Kaya and Kifufa? If it is the Einayim Hochos Lefneim, then by Behema V'chaya is the same thing as the owl, then all should be. But Rabbanan argue on Behema V'chaya. Yet on the owl, they were moda. Why? What's there about the owl that's different than Behema V'chaya? You can't say that the distinctive feature is around the Einayim Hochos Lefneim, because then that would include all Behema V'chaya. Since they exclude Behema V'chaya, except only the owl and the whatever the other animal is, Yanshuf, whatever it's supposed to be, right? Hol v'yeshtem lestos, because they have cheeks. Hol v'yeshtem lestos for them. They have cheeks like that. Some animals have also cheeks. Anyone know what that means, really? Cheeks. Presence of loose skin or flesh here allows the animal to store. A hamster has a pouch. You feed a hamster, he puts stuff right away into the pouch. Doesn't eat it right away. What he has, he has. He doesn't eat it up so fast. So he fills his pouch. Right.
Yeah. With the Gemara,
that's a sign of an animal, right, that's in a hurry. So it doesn't bother chewing, digesting. Puts it then when he has time, he takes it out of the pouch and eats it. They have these. So he claims the owl has cheeks like a pouch, right? And we have also, we can go ahead and put something in the mouth and put it in the side of your mouth and hold it. If you want to eat quickly, I guess you could eat, do it that way. You have to get to as much food as you can in a short time. You don't bother swallowing it, you put it in your mouth, you store it a little bit. Mr. Shem, you'll have babies. One of the problems with feeding babies is when they're not too anxious to eat, they don't swallow right away. You feed them, and then they spit it all out later.
Yes. Well, that's it coming up from the digestive system.
No, from the digestive system. Right from the mouth. A hole in the mouth. One of the problems in medicine, when dealing with patients who have dementia, early Alzheimer's, you give them the medication, right? It's the obligation, it's the responsibility of the nurse to see that they swallow, not that they take the medication. But many patients will put the medicine in the mouth and then half hour later spit it out. So this is a common denominator between the Yanchuv, there and humans. Since they have that common behavior, or common anatomy of cheeks, that's why we equate the two. You're dealing with a messed up fetus. What is there a human sign that it's not just a mass of cells? Well, it's formed. There's clearly some form there. Right? Once you have a form there, who says that human form must be the way you consider a human? A messed up human, you put together all the evils that befall mankind, and what kind of combination of malformations exists to put them all together in one individual, you'll end up with a very strange looking fellow. And this one has a malformed. We have son is already 9 years old. He was born all messed up. More messed up, I mean, grotesque. Looked like a steamroller went over his head. It was this narrow. This poor kid has undergone more than 20 surgeries. An unbelievable, bright little boy. Hold his own in yeshiva. She was pretty badly. He still looks terrible. Still looks grotesque. He had no ears. They made him ears. Mamish, the plastic surgeons must have davened well to get such a boy to practice on. Pulled his head sideways by cracking the skull and putting spaces. It's very my god, by Zaki's grandchild. Fabulous ode to the family, to the parents, that this kid is growing up psychologically normal, as you can see. In social, it's a tremendous job by the parents who didn't just give up on him. Whatever will be, he's blind on one eye, he doesn't hear well. He's a human being. He didn't look like, I saw him when he was born, he didn't look like a human being. Is he a human being now? Hear the kids say Chumash Rashi, Shnah V'Shnayis. No doubt. No owl could do that as well. He's a wise little boy. It's because my first experience is I can't skip over these Gemaras because they leave more questions than answers. But there are a few little answers that come in somehow. And for that, it's worth for those few answers too. Okay. Alec, this is one of your questions.
Uh-oh.
That you didn't want to ask. Boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah merab zeir al Rameir. Boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah merab zeir al Rameir. Rameir di yomar behemo b'mei yisho Vlad Malyahu, he says that a Vlad shaped like some kind of animal, like, is a good, considered human, because it makes Tamei Leda, Kibul Bo Avia Kedushin Mahu. If it's human, can the father accept Kedushin for it? A father can accept Kedushin for a child, B'meyimu. That's what's bothering him. The only question he had to bother him was this one. L'may nafkamina? Obviously, he's not going to be a good wife or a good husband. So what difference does it make?
Well, you can't accept Kedushin for a son, can you?
Oh, we'll come to it in a minute.
Right, go that's ha'av mekadesh, ha'av mekadesh tibita kishahinara.
100%. Yeah, for the Shaila is how can a 9-year-old, as one Gemara says, that 9-year-old has Kedushin, don't know what the Gemara means. But for a female, can.
The nafkamina would be can based in force the husband to pay ksuba to the family for the Kedushin if they divorce.
That could be, but there's an easier one. Nafkamina l'tzura b'chosa.
Her sister would assume she didn't survive.
Huh?
Her sister would assume she didn't survive.
Survived? Who said it survived?
Well, b'chayah.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, you said to, okay.
No. Gemara takes care of that. The name of the chaya? What? You mean that this malformed fetus is viable? Is born alive? Omar Rabbi Yudah Marab, Omar Omer El Ahol, B'minom Iskayim. Rabbi had never said that such a thing could be alive. He's referring to, because is what a live form of this grotesque form. Therefore, it's Tamei Leda. But no one ever said this has life. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Ad kan hevir Rameir Rav Zera lidei gichuch v'lo gochech. You don't understand. Rav Zera was a sourpuss. Rav Zera, right? I knew Rav Zera was not a happy fellow. If you were a happy fellow, you never would have accepted the chumra Rav Zera. Or make Anisha into a zova, which is a nida. Rav Zera was a tzaddik. And it says, there's also the Odom Lamalos Schok. The Malos Pips Chok Bolam Hazeh. Since Chuv Beis Hamikdash, you're not supposed to laugh. Rav Zera carried it to an extreme, and he was always sad looking. So Rav Yirmiyahu tried to get a laugh out of him. That's why he asked him this question. Not to really think that it was a question. This was not a question. This was a joke. Not a joke, something to get a response out of Rav Zera. But it didn't succeed. Rav Zera didn't smile. People tried to get him to smile. It's like the first time I was in England, at Buckingham Palace, there was a couple, a man and a wife, young boy, a man and wife, obviously they're on a honeymoon or something. And they're trying to make that, the two soldiers to stand in front of Buckingham Palace, trying to get them to crack a smile or lose their composure. And part of the whole tourist attraction is how it's not an easy thing to do. How they stand at attention for a lengthy period. You can't do that. You need years of training to do it. Yeah. And they can't do it too long. They'll look alike, but they switch them off after an hour or two. You can't do that for like the jury, just standing at attention. The human body doesn't take that position comfortably. Yeah. You try to make them crack. You don't. This is part of the stiff upper lip. The British made this minute. Yeah. As he says, here you have a case where in the Gemara with not asking anything about it. Not asking Kabbal Kedushin for it. If it's a female Kabbal Kedushin, then the women, then the sisters Zasuralo. This is all similar to that question, remember, in Eilat Mitzrayim, is about the pigeons, where he asked the question, a pigeon found within 50 amos of a pigeon coop belongs to the pigeon coop. After 50 amos, it's hefka, you can keep it. So they show the Mitzrayim, Rabbi Yehuda, I think it was,
the
pigeon, 1 foot.
Yeah? I thought it was Rabbi Yirmiyah.
I thought so too. Well, was this Yirmiyah? Or maybe not. I thought they also was Yirmiyah. They wanted to send him out of his presence for that. Mm-hmm. Yes, one foot, and in the 50, 1 foot outside the 50. It made good sense of it's Rabbi Yirmiyah Taka. He's a guy that asks silly questions. He asks the same silly question
it's
here.
It's my kind of guy.
Yeah?
It's my kind of guy.
Yeah. Hi. How we do it on the yoy? The ad kind of yoy gicha, but below gochit. But he didn't. All right. Let me get just one more and we'll start the next segment. Gufa, Rabbi Yude, Amarav, Omer, Meir, Lachol, Bemino, Miskayim. Since there is such a thing, right, a form like that exists, therefore, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifta, Avanan Namatzina. Right? We also learn, not because it itself has viability, but Bemino Miskayim. There is, in a species like this, there is such species that's alive. Not that this is alive. Only means, Avanan Namatzina, Hamapelis, Kmin Behema, Chayavayov, right? And then Divir Ameir, Bachachamim Omrim, Achiyibo Mitzuras Odom, until it has a human form. The fact that it is a form, right, of an animal that does have viability. This doesn't have viability, right? There. Now it comes the next Shaila. This is really a real Shaila. This we have, it's about a year, I'm most likely, I have one or two such titles every year. And that is, when is the first birth a birth? Not because of malformations, etc. Right? But because of early spontaneous abortion. What's the title?
Miscarriages.
When is the second one a call? You have pigeon a band for the second. They're very critical, because you know how you're passing that child quickly. First, ask for the record from the hospital, because they identify what came out. The mother never knows, really. The parent, they don't know. But the pathology report always has it nice and accurate. It'll tell estimated age of the fetus. It'll tell exactly what you see, right? They may even have done an ultrasound on the fetus to determine whether there may be some thing that hints at a genetic tendency, especially if it's a firstborn. Yeah. And they may even have asked the woman for permission to do a genetic test on the baby, to do the chromosome test to see whether there's any good reason why she aborted it. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's something that has to be already thought about for the next pregnancy. A good hospital will have all that information. Yeah. Now, mother wants to know, in these strange things, one, is it a laid off point to Rabbanon? One is a later part, Rabbanan, that patterns the next one from Chora. Chora has two halachas. Bechor for Pidyon, a Bechor for Yerusha. For Yerusha gets Pishrayim, right? For Pidyon is a Chiyah Pidyon, right? So, a second birth, right, may not be a Pidyon Bechor, even though he's a Yerusha Bechor. For Yerusha is a Bechor. For Pidyon, maybe not. That's what we'll discuss next. We'll pick that up tomorrow, Mitzvah. And fellas, I invite you, if you have the time during this club hour when I'm speaking, it's some important things that if this goes on to the internet and to the YU something and gets wide distribution, it should be something that'll make the papers there, because
thank God the
evolution lecture I gave didn't seem to cause any major disruption in the world society. this one I suspect will attract some attention. And I happen here, I'm including the Gemara that we learned at Balchov, where Rab Zera here, that Rab Zera says, I don't pass in Shilas, neither, because I don't know the science of Bubble.